If you knew what your true yes was and what your true no was in all areas of your life, would you be able to choose faster and easier? What futures would those choices create? Everyone is capable of connecting to their bodies in a way to have more exuberant and joyful living now and in the future. Now, here is your host of Choosing a Different Future with Ceres.
I'm Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo, and you're here on Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. Our show topic today is our third installment of Limitless Azúcar, and it's about raising children with unique needs with my special guest, Zulma Ir Verdejo Carrion. And so if you're new to our show is all about talking about different topics and ways for us to, through our choices, create a different future beyond what's been projected or expected of us. We'll definitely be getting into that today. And also, it's about us having the tools, the resources, some questions for us to explore so that we can increase our own awareness so that we have a sense of power and ownership over our lives so we can create exuberant living our own unique way. And for each of us, it's different. And that's really, really fun. I am a family and child coach. I have a speech and language pathology background. I've been working with children with learning and behavioral difficulties for about 16 years now. And I also do feeding therapy. And so I incorporate all of these different things together and showcase some of my experiences and my stories in our show. And also I incorporate this other piece of body awareness and energy work, this therapeutic energy work. And so all these weave together in a unique way so that we can actually tap into our bodies and partner with them to have more fun, more joy, more clarity. And this is something that I actually learned from our guest today, my mom, Zulma Ir Verdejo Carrion. And so I know that we have events. I'm not going to go into all of the events that are coming up. Just go ahead and explore my website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or go and find me on all the social media platforms to find out about our upcoming events, from our different membership groups to some classes coming up. There's a lot of fun in store. And so go ahead and check them out. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me at empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, today's topic. So Limitless Azúcar number three, raising children with unique needs. So do you know anyone raising children with unique needs? One, two, more kids? Each one balls to juggle while spinning plates and, where do your needs come into play? What if we could meet everyone's needs and have the entire family thrive? And we explored this a little bit in our first two installments where we talked about when worlds collide. And under these episode notes, you can find the links to part one and part two of our Limitless Azúcar series. But my guest, Zulma Ir Verdejo Carrion, is the owner of Serene Fusion LLC, where she educates people on practical alternative health practices in her workshops, coaching, and classes around the world. She empowers people to choose what will work for them and their unique body systems. Some topics include, but are not limited to, anti-aging, the NRF2 system, relaxation techniques, access consciousness, pediatric development, and autism spectrum disorder, just to name a few. And her website is serenefusion.lifevantage.com. And she has a very special offer for our listeners. So make sure to tune into that. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. But as we delve into our experiences with raising and working with children with unique needs, keep in mind your childhood, your interactions with people from unique or special needs, and consider the different perspectives and strategies that we will be discussing. Even if they may push some buttons, they're going to be also opening doors to new possibilities and invite you to consider the exceptional within your children, your family, and you, so that you can have more of what we call limitless azúcar that makes your life a little bit sweeter. Welcome, Zulma. Hi, Ma.
Hi, good morning. It's exciting. I'm excited to be here. And thank you for being here to all our listeners.
I love it. And, you know, we've gotten some really cool feedback from our first two installments. A lot of it being, I thought I knew y'all and I
No.
don't. Or like, oh, they really love our relationship. I think that I didn't always get how special it was, how different and unique our family was and our relationship was because it was our normal. It was just what I grew up knowing. And then over the years, I've learned, wow, no, we are quite different. And so let's explore some of that difference today, shall
It's
we?
the topics that we talk about. Is the happiness around it? Is like being open to talk about so many different things that parents don't talk about. So
Yeah.
it's like, you know, even with my son, they say, he came up with that idea and he's talking up to you about that or
Yeah.
this. And people, the listeners saying, I didn't know about this about you.
Yeah.
I did. So it's amazing.
Well, and one of the things too is that we both have very public, like personas, and you know, our businesses are very much out there and they have been for a long time. And they people know us as people that, like you said, are willing to talk about, well, basically anything, really. There's not very much that's off the table. And yet there's still so much people don't know. And one of the things that struck me from the first two episodes is that we're still learning each other. There's still stuff that when we were preparing for today, I was like, you've never told me that.
Yeah.
Whoa. Like,
And I didn't remember that. Or did I
right.
really? The abuela tell you that? Really? She didn't tell me that. So yeah.
No, it's true. It's I think that it sometimes it kind of when we go into these deep conversations, we recall things that not that we've brushed under the rug, because we don't really do that in our family. For better or worse, we don't really brush things under the rug. But it just got back in the it went to the background a little bit as we're dealing with and living our lives and the things that are in the foreground. So I think that it would be really good for people to get an overview, especially if they haven't listened to the previous episodes and they don't really know us, for us to talk about some of the things that make our family unique. And for sure, one of them is the three of us. You know, I'm the oldest of three siblings and we're very, very close. We were just on Zoom playing like Jackbox games the last weekend and like we make sure to check in on Zoom and we're very affectionate. We like basically are all over each other watching movies when we hang out. And we're now all in our, you know, ad fully adults and in our 30s and 40s. So that really came from how you raised us. And so I want to go back a little bit to how the pregnancies were and the deliveries were with each of us because they were so completely different and it really set the stage for everything else, I think. At least that's my perspectives. Would you be willing to kind of talk about that a little bit? Like, how was your pregnancy with me and the delivery with me? And then kind of go through the other ones.
As you're doing the introductions, what came to mind was life is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. And that's where the pregnancies, there were different chocolates in that box. And I was like completely unique. You were born with 10 toes and 10 fingers. And everything was like taking, you know, you say, you know what? Everything was taking like normal. You were born, and I remember you were like 6 months old, and you were into the hospital, and it was the end of the world for me. Oh my God, my baby's in the hospital. How come? How can that happen? And that was the beginning of allergies and to milk and things like that. But when Sita was born, oh my goodness,
Hi, Sita, wherever you are. Love you.
And you know that cliche that you said, you know what, I only want a healthy baby. And that was being repeated all the time when I was pregnant. And Sita was born 9 months, but when she was born, her legs were up here, facing, you know, right here on her face. Her feet were like
Kind of
hands,
turned inward.
inward, like hands. One knee was dislocated. So she has her head, she has her legs, her pants have flapping, and one knee like to the side. So we call it garabatito.
Yeah, it was
Or
kind of like I think of it almost like a panini, like you know, the panini press, like she just was folded over onto herself and came out. What did she come out feet first?
She was for the first time, she went boom, boom. She went, she did, she was normal delivery. And
Okay.
I guess it was super painful because
Yeah.
her legs couldn't be put, down
Straightened out,
at all,
yeah.
straight down at all. So I was like, I was supposed to be a C-section. They never did an ultrasound. I'm
Yeah.
65. Yeah. So
Yeah.
see, I'm 38.
Yeah.
But at that time they started with ultrasound. They never came up with ultrasound.
That wasn't
And
like the standard. Now it's the standard practice, but back then it was like you could take it or leave it.
I was like, I was one of the people who were saying, why people are doing ultrasound? I'm so glad that they didn't, because I would have worried all for that, during the whole pregnancy. And
Interesting.
at that time it was, well, what can I do? So I think that I don't think the whole family was in shock.
Yeah.
Seeing a baby like that was in shock. And then she has spina bifida, so she has a sac on her back with fluid.
Now let's talk about that. So when you say a sac, and correct me if I'm wrong, how I've understood it over the years is that she had an excess amount of fluid. And part of that was an excess amount of fluid around her brain, hydrocephaly, which was creating some pressure around her head. So we had to drain. One of her many surgeries was
So
to
not
drain
to
that,
be
right?
technical, it wasn't extra fluid. Is that the spine, around the spine, there's fluid going up and
Yeah,
down for the
cerebrospinal fluid. Yeah.
exactly. So it's all going to the brain, through the spine, and it's rotating as we, I'm not a doctor, but that's how I explain it. So because the nerves go through the vertebra, what the nerves, one of the bones were open, one of the vertebra was open, and it
Yeah.
touched the skin. When it touched the skin, so imagine this, the fluid is trying to go a circular motion, it can't. So it can't, because it has this stop sign there,
Yeah.
this sore there, it will go up to the brain. But see, that me, I
It was
didn't go to
getting
the brain.
rerouted to the brain,
Exactly, it had to go
yeah, like
back.
one of those traffic circles. It's like, yeah, you go around, yeah.
It can't go down, so it had to go up. So we see that started accumulating on her back. That was interesting. So they had to repair it. So they pushed it in, and then they had to put a shunt, like it's a
Yes.
valve that it will move or eliminate that fluid into the stomach or into around the heart. It depends. See, so Namiya was around the stomach, and then the heart. When they do a revision, different doctor, and that lasted. It was good for me. For the many years, she didn't have to do a replacement or a fixing of that.
But she
And
still has the shunt. Like that's something
oh,
that's
she has to. She
an
has to.
ongoing thing. Yeah.
Yeah, is
And
this.
that one of the things I remember with CDOT was, yes, there was the difference, and yes, there was all these surgeries and things like that. But for me, she was my little doll. She was the doll. I wanted to feed her. I wanted to take care of her. I just freaking adored her so much.
You
And
slept with her
yeah.
in the same bed. We had like a, we call it, oh, it was a twin size bed with the railing, like a crib. And I bought it, and I never thought about putting you together, but it was so big and you were 2 years old. And you slept always in a corner. You didn't even bother her or anything. And I had the two babies in there. So, yes, you were together since day one.
Yeah. Well, and that played out a little bit differently in the teenage years. We'll get to that perhaps. And so one of the things with that too, so one of the things that I found really interesting that I only heard later on from different family members was I didn't know until maybe I was a teenager that there was a miscarriage between me and my sister. And you didn't make it like a big deal in the sense of like you didn't see a sign in that. But some family members, I remember, unfortunately, in my opinion, said that, oh, maybe that was the sign that CDOT wasn't supposed to be born. Like that was a warning that something like that was coming, like as if this was a bad thing. And I love that you said, I'm glad I didn't do the ultrasound. I think that that's going to surprise a lot of people. But I get it because of the conversations that we've had as a family, that you get that vibration, that worry would have been passed on to her. And there was plenty to worry about and to deal with after the delivery. There's nothing that you
Exactly.
could have changed. You were eating well, you were doing everything you could have done. So I think that that's really, really powerful. And I don't think that it was a warning sign. that Sita was supposed to not be here for you to have that miscarriage. And I think that back then too, that it's the conversation has changed a bit, but miscarriages weren't talked about that much. Like, and it's so common. And so
well,
I think
my mom had one.
Perception was like, it's so common. And so it doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing if you have it.
Well, there are different things with miscarriage. One, you mourn the loss anyway.
Yeah.
It hurts. You know, you lost, you know, it was a baby. Doesn't matter for me how many weeks it was a hurt. And for many years, I remember the date, you know, I call it the date that the baby was born. I call it the day that the baby was born. Instead of the baby, I lost it. Yes, it was February 12th. So it was like, you know, it was always there. And for many years, I did that. Mm-hmm. One of the things with Sita Mia, when she was born, I was like, she will never be able to walk, but she can be a singer.
She can be. Yeah. She does like to sing.
Yeah.
She can be an artist.
Mm-hmm. She can be an artist and she paints. And, you know, people will come here to my house to consult me. I remember a priest coming to consult me. And I said, oh, but you know what? I'm just thinking about how I can arrange the house for a wheelchair. She can be this. She can do that. She can do that. Instead of thinking, oh, she won't be able to walk. Or she won't be able to do this. She won't be able to do that. It was like, I didn't think about it as me being brave. I thought about it like, hello.
Yeah, okay. Well, and that's it's time for our first break, but I think that one thing I want to mention is that's one of the gifts of you as a mom is that you always encourage us to pivot to what was possible instead of focusing on what wasn't possible. And so we continually to do that and check ourselves and hold each other accountable and be like, okay, and now what can we do? And now what is possible here? Instead of, yes, grieving and mourning the loss, but as quickly as possible, moving into action and into what else can we actually consider that is something that we can lean into and create from this. So like I mentioned, it's time for our break. We're gonna continue to talk about Limitless Azúcar and raising children with unique needs. You're listening to Choosing a Different Future with Ciris, with myself, Ciris, on the Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ciris, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ciris is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ciris. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Ciris through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com. Or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ciris Raquel Rivas Verdejo. I'm Choosing a Different Future with Ciris. And today, our show topic is Limitless Azúcar number 3, Raising Children with Unique Needs, with my special guest, Zulma y Verdejo Carrion, my mom, and so much more. And so, before we went on break, we were starting to talk about your pregnancy and delivery with me and then my sister Sita and how they were very different, like different chocolates from that reference of the Forrest Gump movie that we watched a lot together as a family. And I want to make sure everyone, please join us on the live chat room if you'd like. Go ahead and ask us some questions, chime in on our Inspired Choices Network app as well, the ICN app. And you can find us on any of over 450 TV and podcast platforms. So make sure to subscribe. And before we continue this discussion, I want to make sure that you also get a chance, Woodmock, to talk about this special offer you have for our listeners. Could you talk to us about that a little bit and so people can start chiming in, because they can also start sending us messages while we're talking.
So Mother's Day is coming. I'm wearing the dress that I wore for my mom's 90th birthday. So I said, you know what, let's pamper our mothers. So I'm offering a 20-day free collagen activation for any person who buys a one-month supply. So 1 month is like $157 in autoship and 170 something in if you buy it retail. But no matter what, it's like, you know, it's like $120. So it takes, it gets you maybe almost free. $40, $50. I'm not good with math. I didn't do the math today, but I'm excited about it because you can see results within days. Look at my neck.
Or the no neck, no wrinkles.
No neck.
I found out about the collagen from you. It's super awesome. It's been amazing to see people have such huge results like so quickly. It kind of blows my mind. And the difference between activated liquid collagen and regular collagen is that it actually activates your body's ability to produce the collagen versus just supplementation, which is completely different. There's a big difference between activation and supplementation. So how can our listeners benefit and receive this offer?
So please send me your email by text. Mm-hmm. Text it to me, 847-722-2340, 847-722-2340. And I'll send you the link. And before we go, it's more than the skin and the hair, the nails. We have seen people with pain in the joints, people scars. With their stomach, scars, and weight loss. Yes. It's been amazing. So it's a game changer.
Been really cool for you to educate me on. I didn't even realize there were so many different types of collagens that our bodies need. Like speaking to all the different deliveries and health stuff that we've all struggled with over the years in different ways, you know, we all, as in me, Sita, and my brother Shaniel, I wonder what could have been possible if we had this back in the day. Like, you know, it's never too late. I'm glad that we have it in our worlds now. But man, considering all of the skeletal issues, all of the allergies, I used to have hives and break out in rashes all the time when, you know, in my teenage years onward, that what would my life trajectory have been like if I had this in my arsenal?
But with muscle recovery. See, I mean, yes. I had many surgeries, you know, it's like, you know, they cut bones to put it back together. And this one, I didn't know that our bodies produce 28 different type of collagens, and this one has 10, and it goes into your bloodstream between 3 to 5 minutes versus other ones. So it's awesome. A game changer.
Yeah. So let's, there's more we can talk about with CDAB. I definitely want to talk about Shaniel and his delivery, and then get into some of the things that we did to like outcreate a lot of this and to soar beyond a lot of these things that were projected and expected of us during all of this time. So my brother Shaniel Omar, had a very unique delivery as well. So with him, was there an ultrasound?
With him, they did an ultrasound. Mm-hmm. And you know, God is all there. He's always there. So they did an ultrasound and they were concentrating on his back. They were
because of Sita.
So if you have a child with spina bifida, the chances of having a second one are greater. So they're concentrated in the back. Yes, God, they're concentrated in the back and not the front. Mm-hmm. The machine can beeping. I have never seen or heard of an ultrasound machine beeping. It was warning, but they were fixing the machine. So Omar had a hole in his diaphragm. Mm-hmm. And the diaphragm is used, I don't know if people know about this, you think about the diaphragm, but it separates the organs from the upper cavity and the lower cavity. Mm-hmm. So all the organs from the lower cavity were on the upper cavity. So he has his lungs, liver, stomach, everything together. So yeah, he couldn't breathe.
My understanding is that he didn't have enough space, like his lungs didn't have enough space to grow because the stuff that was supposed to be below the diaphragm were up in his chest. And I remember really clearly, there's pictures as well, but I remember like the light of the hospital from the window shining on him at one point. It wasn't always there. They moved him to a different room. But when people were visiting, it was like, he was like, the room was kind of in shadow and it was maybe to lower like the sensory input. And like, cause it was a lot of noise and stimulation just to keep it kind of like the womb, and people would be hushing and like shuffling in really quiet to try to, you know, see him. But I would also hear people crying in the corners and I would be like,
different
why are
they
crying?
From a point of view, from a child that you were like six, I think it was.
Yeah.
So you know, for a six-year-old, you know, so see, it's impresionante. It's impresionante.
It's
I don't know how
to
even say it. Because he's tiny and he has tubes everywhere. So what they did was they took him, I signed up, you know, sign here when he was born. Blood transfusion. At that time I said, what? Blood transfusion? Sign mine, mom, sign. And he was taken in helicopter to Children's Memorial Hospital. And he had surgery the same night. And they stretched his belly and put every organ, you know, a flor de piel, how we call it in Spanish.
Yeah.
It was like a balloon. Mm-hmm. You see this baby with this balloon in his stomach on the left-hand side, and all the organs are there. So when you touch him, it was like kind of like jelly-ish.
Yeah. Well, they were trying to move the organs around to give the lung space. And then I remember these tubes were circulating the blood for him. So we had this little baby and these huge tubes with these different color blood moving.
But you know
around.
What happened? That was the ECMO machine that they're using for the COVID right now. It was an experimental machine at that time. They didn't know it was going to work. But in order to keep that lung still, they had to take the blood to the machine and bring it back in. And they were doing that oxygenation for him. So for
people who experienced the ECMO during COVID or even they're using it still now, you can thank my little brother for that, because he was in the newspaper. He was one of the first babies that they use this on. And I remember at the time, like I felt so helpless and everyone was crying. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to be a cardiologist so I can save my brother. That was my plan. That was the first career choice, the idea that I had. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a cardiologist because I'm going to save my brother's life. Because for me, I was like, is he becoming a machine? Like, I didn't have the word cyborg in my vocabulary, but I was like, is he human? Is he machine? What's going on? Like, it's a mix of things. And so one of the things that was a takeaway from that, this whole, and I remember us talking about it when we watched Forrest Gump, was each child, like you said, is different, but they also give you a different perspective. So you thought, oh, the end of the world was when I had to go to the hospital for allergies or asthma, and I was alerted to all the different milks except for goat milk was the only milk I could have. And me and goat milk still have a very lovely relationship. Thank you, goats. But then Sita was like, oh, you thought that was a lot. Here you go. And then thought that was a lot. Here you go with Shanyin. So how was it for you to handle all of that? Did you at any point think you did something wrong? Like, what were the messages that you were getting from doctors and from family members at that time?
When Sira was born, your father and I, we didn't do anything wrong. We ate, you know, your father, Jose, would say, I didn't use drugs. He said, me neither. Yeah, I ate well, you know, I ate well for CDs, I ate well for CETA, I was very conscious. And one of the things that the doctor said doesn't have to do anything with that. What I realized was like, it was meant to be, so it was a gift to me, I could handle it. And later on, one of my aunts pushed a table at work and she got hurt. She went to the ER and they said, you have spina bifida occulta. And meaning that the bones were together, but you know, maybe a little bit cracking or something. And my mom says, oh, I remember she wearing braces. So it only affected her a little bit. And she said, oh my God, Sira Mia has spina bifida because of me. I said, no. Everybody wanted to have kind of a blame.
Yeah, I mean, being raised Catholic, that Catholic guilt is no joke. Like, wow. And one of the things that I've learned over the years, and as I've like shifted in my spiritual journey and kind of detox some of the things that from Catholicism and from our family and just these beliefs, was blame doesn't help. Like, it doesn't help. It's actually, if anything, distracting. And I find it like both guilt and blame, when it shows up, it feels like itchy. It feels like, ugh, just get it off me. Just like, can we do something else? Like, ugh, let me just shake it off.
And it's think both, it started, you know, what can I do because, now?
Oh, sorry, say that again.
It's what can I do now?
Yeah.
You know, even if I ate wrong, let's say that I drank alcohol, mm-hmm. what can I do now? You know, it's here. Can I change it? Can I change the past? No, let's move forward.
And that's really interesting, because when I was starting to work in the Chicago public schools, and it was right after grad school, I had such a huge caseload. It was a really big caseload, and of all these different things going on. And I remember thinking about that. And there was a mom that had been using drugs, was addicted to drugs, and had been using drugs while pregnant with not just the child that we were evaluating at the time, but the one that was in the stroller waiting during the meeting. And she had since stopped. And we were acknowledged that. We were like, thank you for choosing that. And so she was very against any kind of medication for her child because of her experience with drugs. So she was like, now that I'm not an addict, I don't want my child to be addicted to this thing, even if it might be something that would help him. But I remember being like, well, let's focus on what we can do now. Let's focus on the types of supports and accommodations and services that we can provide to your child now, so that they can thrive better, that they can make progress, and we'll go from there. And I think that I learned that from you and from all these things over and over and over again that we had to do for all of us. And I think it's time for our next break. Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's time for our next break, y'all. so much to talk about. You are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, with myself, Cedis, on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to discuss Limitless Azúcar number 3, Raising Children with Unique Needs. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Cedis is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Cedis. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Cedis through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Cedis Raquel Rivas Verdejo on Choosing a Different Future with Cedis. And today our show topic is Limitless Azúcar number 3. This is our third installment. And our topic is raising children with unique needs. And my special guest, Zulma Y. Verdejo Carrion, my mom, and much, much more, has a special offer for our listeners. Zulma, can you talk about that offer once again?
So yes, with the purchase of 30 days of collagen, you get 20 extra days for free. And I forgot to tell you, so the five first, you know, people that send me a text message, it's only okay. for five
it's
people.
It's not everybody that sends you.
It's not everybody. It's only five. Okay.
Let me get on very clear. Even do it while we're talking right now. And all you have to do is text Zulma at 847-722-2340 with your email address, and she'll send you the information to get that free gift of the extra 20 days of collagen after your purchase of a 30-day package or 30-day product. Mm-hmm. So, excellent.
One more thing before we finish with the collagen. We are in Canada right now and the U.S., so if you're in Mexico, I'm so sorry. I have people from Mexico begging, but not yet.
It's going to be there. It's
going to be soon.
All right, cool. All right, thank you. Excellent, excellent. And so we are talking about all these different perspectives in our journey and all these different deliveries from me to my sister to Shaniel to my brother. And one of the things that we were talking about before the break is this idea that blame doesn't help. Guilt doesn't help. It actually can be a distraction. It prevents you from having clarity on, okay, now what can we do? And so one of the things that I found really interesting that you shared with me, I'm hoping you're willing to talk about it a little bit on our show today, is that I didn't know about, was this moment that you had when you found out about Shaniel that wasn't all sunshine and rainbows and hopefulness. You said that they put you at the last bed of the room by the window in the hospital. Can you speak to that? Like what happened and what was going through your mind and your world at that time?
So I went early in the morning for delivery. It was induced labor. So I spent the whole day at 5 o'clock. I gave birth. By 7 o'clock, I have not eaten breakfast, lunch, dinner, nothing. And then I thought I have a healthy baby and he's dead. He can't breathe. And there are 7 beds in that room. They put me on the last bed by the window. No other patient was there. And for, I would say, an hour, I was praying because I said to myself, if I have that energy, I will open the window and I will jump. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was like, God, what, you know, and that's when I went into, what did I do? Because this was the second time that I'm positive all the time, but I collapsed. Yeah. I collapsed at that time.
Well, and I'm also wondering, and this is something that's also shown up in the last 30, 40 years that was not discussed back then, was I wonder how much of that was also postpartum depression. Like that happens with people who don't get this type of news from their kids, from completely healthy, typically developing kids, they experience it. Let alone in this situation where you just had this big blow of an unexpected news in your world where you were like, oh, again, what happened here? So have you ever thought of that maybe you might have had postpartum depression?
I don't remember afterwards because I was on the go.
Yeah.
I have to make things happen. My mom couldn't stay with me because she was with you and Sita and Mia. And then Jose went to the hospital because just in case, you know, things happen, and he was there the next morning. But to be in by yourself after that shock, again, everybody's in shock, and the rest of the family is in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
My friends is nighttime, so I was let go the next day, and people don't even know what to say to you.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's unheard of a second time. And in the hospital, you're not coming home with a baby again. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to say I'm depressed because I have to, you know, take care of you. You know, you are talking to me. Mia is not walking yet. Mm-hmm. It was chaos.
Completely. Yeah, even though she was 4, she learned to walk the first year of Shani's life, if I remember that correctly. So she learned to walk at 4 years old, which is a miracle and amazing because everyone was saying she was not going to ever be able to walk. It's not common for people with spina bifida to walk the kind that she had. And I think it was the level of determination, all of the therapies, and she was really uncomfortable and did not like doing. I remember her crying, trying to do the exercises and things like that. And us trying to help her, be like, oh, I'll help with the with the exercises, and I was trying to model it for her so that she could, didn't feel like it was only her doing it, but it was painful for her, but that was also what got her to walk. And I remember wanting attention. And I didn't realize until my 20s how much I associated, oh, you get attention when you're sick. You get attention when you're in pain. You get attention when all these things are, that are, you know, the drama, these things are happening in your life. And so unconsciously, I think I created this program in my world of, oh, let me create sickness then. Let me create pain so that I get attention. And even though I was, you know, for to the outside world, felt very confident and CDS is very accomplished, I started having a lot of these autoimmune issues in high school onward, exactly when I was accomplishing so much. And I think that was that unconscious program that was all of a sudden starting to show up and manifest.
You have all the attention. Back then. Yeah, you, when you were born, you were the first granddaughter for both sizes. So, you know, when I remember being getting to visit somebody and I was holding, you say, oh, Siri is here. They will grab you. And Jose and I will look at each other and say, what just happened?
Yeah, we were, I was spoiled. I was the first grandchild. I was getting all the attention for 2 whole years and then no more.
And I said, mom, I wasn't even thinking that much. You know, being in the podcast, doing this have brought so much to my world because I put it aside. I did what I had to do and that's it, it's over. Now yeah. My kids are adults. And when you ask me and you said, let's do this, I'm like, wait a second, how did I do this?
Yeah.
Oh, series wasn't, that didn't have that much attention. Oh, now, yes, because I was on the go. Yeah.
I didn't get any attention. I just wasn't getting it to the level that I wanted it because I definitely was acknowledged for my grades and for what I was doing with sports. And like when we would go on family trips and you kind of kept dealing out the cards of attention. It was just divvied up and it was more places and more players to divvy up the cards to. And I know this now as an adult, but I remember at the time and into like, you know, adolescence, I was a bit frustrated at times. And then at the same time, I was like, well, maybe I can help and I'll, by being good, by not being a burden, because I was so aware of the stress that you and Bobby were dealing with. And so I was like, okay, I can entertain myself. I can be over here on the side. And I think that one of the things that I'd love for any parents or caregivers that hear this to really get from this is like, maybe start acknowledging now instead of later the strength that you're employing and that it's not something that everybody can do and that not everybody can appreciate or they'll even get. Like it can be really isolating too. I remember us feeling like we still talk about each other as the Three Musketeers, and it was us against the world, including sometimes us against the divorces and the marriages and all the different relationships that you and Bobby had together and separately, you know, with the other people, but we always had each other. And we wouldn't have had that if we didn't get the message from you, hey, you only have each other. Like, you guys need to be close. You can't be
with
arguing
everything,
all the time.
Everything is said and done. You are it.
Yeah.
You always like, everything is, you know, you're it. And also empowering you that you could do things because I went to psychologist and he says, you have to let go.
Yeah.
And by letting go, I have time for myself. Now, because I, you know, otherwise, you know, I would have gone insane. So I told them, you know, you are going to wash dishes.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to clean the house. You are going
cooking.
To clean.
I started cooking. Okay. Yeah.
You can have a sandwich.
And I think that a lot of parents hesitate doing that because they think, oh, I want the kids to be kids. I want them to have fun, but it's not mutually exclusive. It's not like, oh, you empower them to be independent or they don't get to have a child or they get to have a childhood. It's like you can have a childhood and have these adventures and exploration and playtime. And you can also be building and exploring these skills that are going to make you a more effective and independent adult. And I think a lot of parents think it's one or the other. And as much as, yes, I would have loved to have more attention. I mean, who doesn't want more attention? Like, I'm so glad that I learned to entertain myself, that I got comfortable with my own, like being by myself. And so when I chose to have people around, it was because I truly wanted them around and not because I had to have them around. Like, I'm very picky about who I spend my time with because I love my time with myself. And so, like, it's a gift that if I give it to somebody and I share that space and time with somebody. And it started from these empowering gestures and actions that you took with us when we were growing up. So thank you.
And it was thank you to you too. It's like it was sometimes it was simple things. Like, I remember you were 6 years old. I had the milk very close to the door, the refrigerator door. I had the cereal at the bottom, you know, cabinet, and I had a bowl and the spoon, and I could sleep, you know, till noon. I was exhausted or something. I said, you know what, you wake up, you go and serve Sita me at the cereal, and then you eat. And I will wake up at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whatever. I could sleep. And then you were watching TV. I thanked God for TV at that time. And you know how about the remote control. And I said, do you eat? And he said, yes, I ate. Sita mia diaper was soaked. And I was like, yep, I know about mother. I can change her now. So I started, you know, when you, and that was, one of my organizational tricks that I had.
There was so much chaos. There's something's got to go. I remember I was like, I think in my 20s, maybe I was right out of grad school, and I was with my first fiance at the time. And I was so overwhelmed with being so sick. This was before I rebuilt my immune system and, you know, found a way to still be here on this planet after all the craziness that my body was dealing with. And I remember being like, I'm having a full-time job. I have this relationship. I'm trying to do my own thing and have time with friends, clean my house, pay the bills. And I turned to you and I called you on the phone. I clearly remember this. And I was like, Ma, how in the world did you do this with 3 kids and with a husband and yourself, and you are working full-time, he was working full-time. How in the world did you do this? I'm barely able to manage this. And I don't have all of that going on. Do you remember what you told me? You were like, some things just had to go. I didn't go and hang out with my friends. I didn't go and do these things. I had to prioritize these other things. I had the house clean and I had this stuff. And later on, I hung out with friends more, but things just had to go. And I remember being like, I guess things just got to go. And you move things around. And I think that that's the key thing, is that like a lot of people will judge so many families and so many parents for not having all these things going on or not doing these certain things that they feel they should be doing. And we have to choose our own priorities, and people have different priorities. And at the time, socializing wasn't your priority.
Mm-mm. Nope.
And you needed to sleep to then be able to do all those things that you needed to do. And I think that it depended on the child. Like, you knew with me, you could say, hey, feed yourself, da, da, da. Not every child you can do that. And you have to meet each child at where they're at and given their strengths and their abilities and their capacities, and then empower each of them in a different way. So we're going to talk about that. It's time for our next break. You are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis on the Inspired Choices Network. And when we return, we will continue to talk about Limitless Azúcar number 3, Raising Children with Unique Needs. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Cedis is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you. This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Cedis. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Cedis through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ciris Raquel Rivas Verdejo on Choosing a Different Future with Ciris. And today our show topic is Limitless Azúcar, number 3, Raising Children with Unique Needs. And I've been here talking with my mom, Zulma E. Verdejo Carrion, and just getting her experience. I'm looking forward to our next installment of this conversation, because before we went on break, we were talking about how we had to change different priorities. And I think a lot of families, that's one of the biggest challenges, is to actually honor their priorities instead of trying to make other people's priorities theirs, like what other people think that they should be doing, and have that guide what they choose to do with their kids and what they choose to do with their family routines and things like that. And it really gets people stuck. And one of the things that you didn't have access to that is a big thing now that I'm not sure if you realize is parent forums. They can be both really supportive and cut through a lot of the isolation, and you can vent and you can get ideas. And it can also be a source for a lot of my families of judgment, of, you know, control, of overwhelm. Like, there's so many options, there's so many ideas. How do I know which one's going to work for my family? And sometimes it's nice to go into your own inner knowing and not have all of those other things, and then use that inner knowing to then be like, okay, given these different resources, like you mentioned, you saw a therapist to help you with raising us and dealing with the divorces and things like that. And I think you already had that really key prerequisite skill of being in touch with what was going to work with for each of us and our family. You just wanted some more ideas. But a lot of people are getting all these ideas before really knowing themselves and having their clear yes and no for each person in the family and for the family. And so I'm wondering too, we're talking about having different priorities. And one of the things that you really conveyed to us very early on when we were getting a little petulant and starting to tantrum about things and huffy puffy was, there's no such thing as fair. And do you remember this? And revisit this over and over again, because it's very tempting for be like, oh, it's not fair that Sita gets this and Shani gets that. And I would be like, oh, and then you would talk about, yes, this is fair. And what, you know what fair means? And so I want you to leave us with this talk about fair, because I think that that's really important for not just kids to start learning, especially a lot of kids that are very immediate gratification right now. They're always about immediate gratification right now, but also for adults, that there's a lot of things where you go into and you start pouting yourself as an adult, like, this isn't fair. Like, what? Well, this is happening for what reason?
So one of the things, you know, that came to mind when you mentioned the word fair, I remember Sita Mia needing to go on the swings. Mm-hmm. And you can talk more about that. She has some kind of special, you know, problem in which she, you know, she will be triggered for space and falling.
And her vestibular system and the proprioception, her awareness of her body and space was off. Yeah. I know this now after grad school and 16 years of working with kids. I didn't know this then, obviously.
And that's a mouthful. So, you know, so with Sita Mia, I knew that they said, you have to go on the swings. You have to sit down, put her on the swings, and swing with her. At that time, you couldn't find those swings in which you could put the baby in.
Yeah, basket type.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They were not like that. And I will go and swing, and people will look at me and say, this is fair. Mm-hmm. Sita Mia needs this. Yeah. Omar needed other things, like look at him on the face, you know, facing him. I will be sitting with him and reading to him more and review.
Because that he was hard of hearing.
Because he's hard of hearing.
Which we didn't even get into.
So yes, so I put him out of that classroom. So I needed a special time with him, mm-hmm. and with food. Yeah. There was food that you couldn't eat, and it wouldn't feel fair. Yes, it's fair because cities cannot eat this at this moment. Right now, thanks mm-hmm. God, you can, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. But things like that were fair. For toys, my mom, I remember that she would spend $50 for each child, to give you an example. Mm-hmm. But then this child might get 5 presents, and this one will get 3, because in her world, $50 was fair, but in the kids' world, you have 5.
Yeah, 5 gifts versus 1. Yeah, they don't know about the concept of money.
They don't know about the concept.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that, like, fair then, from how I took it, was it's what's going to work and what's required for each person to thrive.
Exactly.
Yeah. So join us on June 30th for our next Limitless Azúcar.
Thank you for listening to the Choosing a Different Future show.
Series
returns Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, keep choosing what will work for you and your body, your own unique way honoring what will work for you.